Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
Hi, and thanks for listening today. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day in our nation's capital, an early autumn, and the leaves are a million colors outside our studios, and it reminds me of the million colors that the animators from Walt Disney use in their classics. And one would opine that the music in a Disney film is just as important as the animation, and our guest today, Chris Montan, is responsible for the music. He's the president of Walt Disney Music and oversees the songs you hear in a lot of Disney projects, including all the Disney movies, all the Pixar animated features, the theatrical stage productions like The Lion King, video premieres, as well as the music you hear when you go to Disneyland or Disney World. Variety magazine named him Music Supervisor of the Decade. He's a Grammy and Peabody Award winner, and Walt Disney Studios, under Chris's guidance, has 45 Musical Academy Award nominations and 15 Academy Awards in the Best Song and Best Score categories over the past decade and a half. 9 soundtracks, which generally don't sell very well. 9 soundtracks highlighted by The Lion King, certified multi-platinum under Chris Montan. He's been with the company since 1984 and was named Vice President of Music for Motion Pictures and Television in 1987. He was senior vice president starting in 91 and produced the TV music production of Cinderella that starred Whitney Houston and Brandy, and executive produced Annie on TV. He also has been the executive music producer for films that are favorites in our house with a six-year-old, including Pocahontas, Toy Story, Toy Story 2, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, Mulan, Tarzan, Monsters, Inc., which, by the way, won an Oscar for the Randy Newman song, If I Didn't Have You, Finding Nemo, Brother Bear, that had all the music from Phil Collins, and also Up, Tangled, and Toy Story 3. Chris Montan is our guest today, and we're going to talk to him about Disney music and the phenomenon surrounding it. Chris Montan is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's an impressive resume, but at the heart of it all, it goes back to you as a recording artist and as a musician.
That's actually how I started back in the late 70s. I was a songwriter, and then I had a record deal for a while, and I was on the radio a little bit. But I had the good fortune to get to Disney right when Michael Eisner and Jeffrey Katzenberg started in 84. And that's when I met Howard Ashman and Alan Menken about a year later, and we started on Little Mermaid. So it was a beautiful time to start at a company.
Now, I know, as I read through your material, Chris, that you're a father as well. So how much of being a dad influences your work on these animated films?
Well, you know, I think I know that you're a dad as well. It's great because I used to do all the live-action movies at Disney, too, like Pretty Woman and stuff. And a lot of my friends couldn't go see the movies they worked on. Their kids, they couldn't bring their children.
Right.
And what's been great about this run ever since Mermaid and Toy Story is my kids were born in 88 and 90, and they have just grown up seeing every one of these movies before they even come out. And, you know, they're Disney kids.
And dad has got to be the coolest dad on the block, being a Disney dad.
Well, you know, it's one of the ways I used to measure if we were successful was when I would go to one of my son's concerts in high school. And generally, you know, the eighth grade would sing Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And 10th grade would sing, you know, Circle of Life. And you knew you had penetrated the culture at the, sort of the core.
It's just amazing. And, you know, you mentioned Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And as a longtime broadcaster and radio programmer, that was a song that we couldn't get off the radio. It just continued to, as they say in the industry, to test with audiences of all ages, and it just lasted and lasted and lasted. And you were a big fan of the song, but the guys that actually were the animators for Lion King, not so much, huh?
Well, what had happened was, you know, in the business, we call them one-song listens, where
sure.
You hear a song once and you just know it's a hit. And the
yep.
first time I heard it, I played through the first verse and chorus. We had cassette tapes back then. And I called my boss and said, I know we have one. I'm positive. And I hadn't even heard the second verse yet. I was so sure. But what happened was the sequence in which it was written, at that point, Simba and Nala have not seen each other in almost 15 years. And all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, they're supposed to sing a love song. So for the animators, it was a difficult story leap to make. It wasn't dramatically being asked for, really. And right. At one point, I think Elton would tell you, was actually taken out of the movie for one of the screenings. And Elton, you know, rightfully so, said, this is the heart of the movie. These movies always have emotional, you know, ballads, and you have to put it back in. And to his credit, they did, and the rest kind of was history.
Chris Montana is our guest today. If you've got a question, our number is 718-506-1944. Chris, the president of Walt Disney Music. Talk to me a little about the creative process in doing these things. So for The Lion King and for Can You Feel the Love Tonight and Circle of Life, did those songs come first, or is there already an animated movie and the music needs to fit the animation, or does it depend on the film?
In most cases, it's a great question, by the way. In most live-action movies, they make the movie, and then they put the songs in. In animation, we generally have the songs first. Like Little Mermaid, we had all the songs, and then we built the movie around each of those songs. Lion King was similar. Elton sent us 5 original songs. We later changed one. But at the time, the whole opening of the movie wasn't Circle of Life. It was all the animals and Pumbaa and Timon walking to Pride Rock for the coronation, and they were just talking. And
wow.
It was flat as a pancake. And then Lebo M came in with Hans Zimmer, and he improvised that whole famous chant, you know, Nya, la, la, nya. And we said, well, that's kind of a nice placeholder. So we put it in, and all the animators heard it. And finally, I think they heard the potential what Africa could be, because we had really put it in the vernacular of the continent, and that's what the directors had wanted. And the Lion King animators went from the show people didn't want to work on to the show everybody wanted to work on.
And by the way, The Lion King had a terrific second run in 3D, and now there's a new version of The Lion King soundtrack with some new tracks in there, and also a best of The Lion King that would make wonderful stocking stuffers as we head into the holiday season. Chris Montana is our guest today. He's the president of Walt Disney Music, was a recording artist first before he went behind the mixing board. And this song, Circle of Life, was also a huge hit for Elton John, along with Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And I guess in some ways, those were comeback songs for Elton. You know, he had a little bit of a dry period on the charts. What was it like working with this legendary artist and sort of seeing his career resurrection?
Well, one of the reasons we tended to work with people like Elton and Phil Collins and Sting was we wanted to work with artists whose music didn't date, so that if you saw the movie 15 years later, it wouldn't be like you saw. Remember that old car wash movie and you hear all the wah-wah pedals?
Oh, yeah.
You know it's 1979, right?
You're stuck right there in the disco era, sure.
So our goal was always to work with timeless writers, and that's it. Elton was probably one of the greatest writers of the second half century, and he might have been in a quieter phase temporarily, but he kept coming back and having hits, and Lion King was one of those cycles where he had the 2 big hits. And I remember going to Giant Stadium that summer after the movie came out, and there were 60,000 people, and that introduction of Can You Feel the Love Tonight started, just those chords, and there was every lighter lit in the whole stadium. My heart was just racing that something that we had put out in June was already that powerful in August.
That's amazing. That's got to be an amazing feeling.
It really was. It really was.
Chris, was there a time that crystallized it for you when you saw that The Lion King and this music was not just another animated movie, that this one sort of really transcended everything? I mean, that Giant Stadium moment had to be one of the early ones.
We had a couple moments like that, because in the early days, before the music went in, The Lion King had been a little bit more of a comedy, and it didn't have the weight of the father-son story.
Right.
So we were actually at the time thinking Pocahontas might be our big one, which was coming next, and we already had Colors of the Wind. And then we had a preview one time out in suburban Los Angeles, and literally we all looked at each other, and it was the night it became The Lion King. The audience numbers and the focus groups talked about it in a way they had never talked about it, and we were coming off a pretty hot streak of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin.
Sure.
So we knew what success was, but this started to feel bigger than that.
I have a pal who's an animator for Disney. He's done some work for Disney. His name is Jason Lethkoe, and he says there's something that is really magical about working within that atmosphere and that studio. Do you feel the same thing on the music side?
Oh, yes. I mean, I do a lot of talks and lectures around the country about Disney music, and I usually start with, tell me your 10 favorite Paramount songs.
It's a good way to start it and get them keyed in immediately. On
and
what
everybody
do, what
looks up. And the fact is there's probably 100 Paramount songs they would love. They've had a million great movies, but it's not – they don't connect it with Paramount.
Sure.
Whereas I think Walt Disney was so smart because he started using songs as storytelling devices back in the 30s when Broadway was mostly still doing reviews. So he always made music a bigger part of his creative process than the other companies. And in our era then, when I came in the late 80s, my goal was to try to match Pinocchio, Snow White – and do those same types of things. And we had the good fortune of doing it twice because we did it with, you know, Mermaid and Lion King, and now we have also done it with Pixar and John Lasseter.
We're talking to the big cheese, the big kahuna from Walt Disney Music, Chris Montan, the president of the whole music division. He's responsible for the music in all those great movies. And Chris, when they re-released The Lion King in 3D, I guess it was a month and a half, 2 months ago, it was a huge hit. Again, did that take you by surprise, or is it so sophisticated now in terms of research that you knew you had a hit all over again?
Well, I think at the time, you know, they had estimates, but there's very little data for re-releases of movies that are 15, 17 years old. Like, I think Jim Cameron's going to be re-releasing Titanic in 3D, and I'm sure that'll do well. But I think it takes a very, very, almost like once a decade level movie to put out that many years later when people have already had it on video cassette or DVD or seen it online. I don't think anyone in the company would have expected. We're at about $93 million in the States, and probably another 60 to 70 overseas. I think that outstripped all our expectation, happily so.
And The Lion King, by the way, now available on Blu-ray for the first time in the Diamond Edition, and there's a new release of the Best of The Lion King. And I guess this has all these different sort of various releases from the film soundtrack, and also there's some, the theatrical cast is on here as well,
yeah,
is that right?
What's nice about the record is it's a great sampler. It has songs from the original soundtrack, and then we did that really strong follow-up, The Rhythm of the Pride Lands, where we took a lot of Hans Zimmer's movie, we converted those to songs, and then Julie Taymor, who developed our stage show and directed it, she chose some of them for the stage show. And so we have some songs from the stage show as well, and also from our sequels, Lion King 1.5 and Lion King 2. So for the average, you know, child in particular, there's a number of these songs that would be new and fun for them to hear, I think.
Chris Montan, our guest today. And finally, I want to wrap up by asking you about some of these artists that you've worked with. And just give me your first thoughts and impressions on folks like Phil Collins, who you work with on Brother Bear.
Well, Phil is one of the hardest working people that you'll ever meet and probably the nicest. I think if you wanted to look in a dictionary under what you wished a rock star would be like, it's him. He's just an incredible pleasure, and we worked together. He lived in Switzerland, so we worked together. I would call him at 9 a.m. in L.A. and at 6 o'clock at the end of his day, and we would talk for a half an hour through the music every day, 5 days a week for a couple of years. And it was just one of the great memories of my life, frankly.
That's fabulous. Randy Newman, who I just think is one of the most talented and most underrated cats out there. What's he like?
He's right up there with Robin Williams funny and smart. And such a great melodic writer, and he had the ability to be so emotional. We had problems with Toy Story 2 with the storytelling, and then he wrote the song Jesse's Song, you may remember.
Sure.
And that song changed the movie because we couldn't explain why Woody would ever leave his gang. And when that little doll is thrown into the garbage to that music, it's so emotionally powerful. It sold the moment. Randy's one of the only writers I know that could have gotten to that place.
What about the great vocalist Vanessa Williams, who had that huge hit with Colors of the Wind?
Well, she's a sweetheart, and she was classically trained, and her parents both had, I believe, music teaching background. So she was just such a pleasure because her instrument, that, you know, that song and that melody is very difficult, and she sang it and re-sang it and re-sang it. And it's so funny. Then I didn't see her for a few years since she said, Chris, I think I've sung it 1,200 times since I've seen you.
I got that one down.
Yeah.
And then Elton John, of course, who was responsible for this Lion King music, along with Hans Zimmer, has this reputation for the tempers and the tiaras, of course. So did you see any of that while you were working with him? And without giving up any confidences, what can you tell us about Elton John?
Well, I've been now with Elton on and off for probably 20 years. We started in 91. And I think in the early days, he did have times of emotional things, because not only did we do Lion King together, but we did Aida very successfully. We did Romeo and Juliet, which became a very successful animated film. Over the years, he's become a very dear friend, and I think maybe one of the two or three greatest songwriters of all time. He invited me down to Atlanta one time, and he basically, it's pretty well known, he writes a song in an hour to 2 hours.
And get out of here.
And if he doesn't finish it, you'll never hear it. It doesn't go on a tape. It's just gone. And they set up a drum program for him, and he starts playing. And I just sat there watching. And an hour and a half later, we had the second song in our stage show of Aida, done completely. That's not something – I've only seen two or three people that can do that at that level. So I have tremendous fondness for him, and have just – you know, he's helped make my career as much – so I'm just very grateful to him and his talent.
And he's worked for a long time. You know, you hear about the temper tantrums and all, but he's worked with the same lyricist for his entire career, right?
Yes, he's mostly worked with Murray Taupin, but he did write the Lion King songs in Aida with Tim Rice.
So it tells you something, I think, there, both in terms of the fact that he's been loyal to Bernie Taupin all these years, and he'll bring in outside collaborators as well.
Right. He's incredibly loyal to Bernie and a great friend to him. And they've been through, 40 years in the wars together, and you get very close that way.
What's the fun thing about what you do for a living? As president of Walt Disney Music, you got to be stuck in an awful lot of meetings and boardrooms. Is the fun part still getting into the studio?
You know, it's funny. As time has evolved, the company really let me run. So I do a lot of work in the theme parks as well. I don't spend a lot of time in meetings. And the happiest moment, I have two happy moments. One is I hear all these songs usually over the phone for the first time. So Alan Menken will call me from suburban New York, and I'm in Burbank, and he'll start playing me Go the Distance for Hercules. And he played me the chorus, and I said, I don't think you're done yet. And Alan said, nope, I'm positive, it's perfect, I'm finished. I said, Alan, is our new relationship, you call me, and I say, that's great, Alan? He went, no, I'll call you back. And the next day he had written the best part of the song, and it became a big hit. Those are the moments you live for.
Chris Montan, the president of Walt Disney Music, with a behind-the-scenes look at this fabulous career you've had and all these terrific songs behind the movies that many of us and our children certainly grew up with. And again, the Lion King re-release, what makes it special is these extra tracks, and then you've also added in the theatrical cast as well.
Yes.
All right, very good. It's available in stores now. Pick it up just in time for the holidays. And by the way, The Lion King re-release, very successful, and also available now on Blu-ray and in the new Diamond Edition. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
It was a pleasure talking with you. I'm Burke Allen. We're live in Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.